Okay, so year one, term one, and day one, I remember the excitement and the joy that I had as I put on my school uniform and just heard all these kids yelling and parents yelling back and doing it in a language that I was familiar with, one that we only spoke at home. And it was in that moment as a six-year-old that I actually understood that this is home, this is belonging, and this is a place that I feel safe. And that was really strange for me because I was actually on a family holiday in Ghana, West Africa. And this wasn't actually my home. This wasn't a familiar place. But knowing that I could find that kind of connection and sense of belonging somewhere that wasn't my normal was really, really lovely. So term two, year one, day one, I went through the same motions. I put on my school uniform. I remember hearing kids yelling, parents trying to get everyone together and going to school. But this time, that sense of belonging wasn't there, that sense of home and that sense of peace. I wasn't hearing a language that I was familiar with. And this was because I was in Bunbury, West Africa. Bunbury, Western Australia. And I actually was home, but this was a very different experience of school that I had initially had. So going into year one, back home now, and having that understanding of that feeling of peace and belonging and home, and not finding that sense of it where my home actually was, I started looking for something to hold on to, something to recreate that idea, and something that would make me I could delve back into that space. So for me, it was creativity, it was drawing. I realized quite early on that as I drew and as I imagined, I could kind of take myself in my mind back to that place and that place that I'd experienced earlier on. And as I drew, I could kind of recreate this perfect world that I thought was it. Like, that's where I want to be and that's where I want to stay. So with my pencil and my paper, I drew those worlds. And as I drew that world, I started drawing in the characters. I started drawing in the woman that I wanted to be. And I had a real focus also on the clothing that she was wearing. So it wasn't very long until I was like, you know what? I'm going to be a fashion designer. Though I didn't fully understand what that completely meant, I just knew that I liked drawing clothing and thought I can be that person and be transported to that space by when I put on this uniform and when I'm this woman. So, you know, everyone knew I was going to be a fashion designer all throughout primary school. When my little sister was put to bed, she was 5 years younger than me, and an hour later my parents would go pick her up. She would have a different outfit on. So my parents knew that I was going to be a fashion designer, and my sister knew I was going to be a fashion designer because when we would play mums and dads or any kind of game, we would have to schedule in a time for me to pick the outfits of all the people who were going to be a part of that. And my friends also knew that because every school project that I had or anything that I got to choose a topic, it was fashion. So that was the path that I was going on. That is what I had decided. And fast forward a few years, I'm in high school and I'm choosing my subjects and choosing the course that I want to do once I finish school, which obviously is fashion design. And I just felt this sense of, you know, this is me going back to that world, that perfect place that I once experienced. And that's what the fashion industry is going to be like. So when I got the letter in the mail from the TAFE saying, you've been accepted into this TAFE course, I thought, perfect. This is what I've been waiting for. You know, the next 3 years I spent studying and really learning everything I needed to know so that I could, when I was about to step into that space, I would be fully equipped and I'd have a real understanding as to what I was doing. I wanted that experience to be everything I had imagined all those years. So when I graduated from TAFE, I remember getting another letter in the mail that said, you are winning an award, be at the Bunbury Regional Theatre on this day. Mm-hmm. And I remember going up on stage and taking the award of Fashion Student of the Year. And I just thought, of course. Look, I was slightly obnoxious as a teenager, but who hasn't had those moments? And I took that with such pride because I had felt like I was working so hard for that and I'd been dreaming about it for so long as well. So the next step for me was going to uni, and I went to Curtin University and did a degree there. And same kind of process, I put my head down, I worked as hard as I could, and at the end of the year, I took all but 3 awards. And I just remember being like, this journey could not be more perfect than I have imagined or dreamed it could be. And then with that, I started applying for jobs. And people had said, you know, you're not going to get a job in the fashion industry. There's nothing available in Perth. If you want to do something in the fashion industry, go over east. And I was never one to shy away from challenges. So I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to put my head down. I'm going to apply for everything and anything and just work really hard at it. And one of the jobs that I got was a job as a personal stylist and shopper for David Jones. And for me, I was like, oh, this is amazing. This is perfect. This is what I've dreamed of. And I was just so ready to, you know, take on the challenges that came on with that. And my first project that they set me on was going over east. And during for that, it was for the spring-summer fashion launch. And I was just so excited because this, for me, was really me stepping into that world that I had drawn all those years back. It was all the things that I had worked towards to get to that point was about to happen. So I got on the plane and I went to, got to Sydney, first time in Sydney. And, you know, it was really like this real kind of whirlwind experience. We all dressed head to toe in black. I put on my red Ruby Woo lipstick from MAC, slicked my head back. And it was like, I was taking this seriously. Like, this was my thing. And I had dreamt about this and I had hoped for this. And I remember stepping into that space, into going backstage and meeting all these people and engaging with these industry experts. And as the days went on while I was there during that time, I just started looking around and going, there's actually something not quite right here. You know, like this isn't what I had imagined, because I think in the lead up of that, my ideas got very changed about what it is that I was looking for, because the 6-year-old me was actually looking for belonging and connection. And the 23-year-old me was just looking, I think, for the excitement and the craziness of and the whirlwind of the fashion industry. And as people spoke and as I engaged with more people and as people laughed, and I just thought, you're laughing with your mouth, but there's nothing here. Or we're having this conversation, but it's like there's this wall in between us. And are we really talking? And I started craving that feeling again, because I realized that it wasn't here and I thought I would have found it. So with that, I left Sydney quite discouraged, and I started questioning, am I going to keep pursuing this? Is this what I want? And it was just such, there was so much tension in that question, because I was like, I have not spent the however many years dreaming about this, thinking I'm going to get to this point, only to realize that it wasn't what I had hoped for. So my next project was actually with a Fremantle-based business, and that was to go to India and design a collection for them. So got on a plane, and I had a bit of optimism about it, but went to India and I ended up in a town called Pushkar, and I was just blown away. I was seeing people using, you know, creativity in a way that empowered people, in a way that really encouraged and looked at what someone had already created and said, how can we share this with the world? Because we see so much value in what you're doing. You know, the focus started coming off what we were creating and the perfection and the look of what do I look like at this event, or am I talking to the right person at this event? And it actually shifted to the people we were engaging with and saying, you have something of value and so does everyone around us. And how do we draw that out of people, and how do we represent it and encourage and empower people as they share their giftings? And seeing creativity and seeing community from that standpoint, I thought, wow, this is what I've been looking for. This is where I want to be. And it completely shifted that desire to just be after being in the world, as opposed to in the same way as a 6-year-old could draw this world, I can actually create that community around me. I can create that community by encouraging people. And it's actually not just about me. It's actually about the people around us. It's about the people who have the skills and who have the gifts, and how do we empower and encourage them to use those things in a way that's really going to celebrate what they do. So seeing someone model that and coming back to Perth, I thought, wow, I need to make a change. So I was still quite young and naive, and I was like, I'm going to quit my job, I'm going to save the world. And I did, and I found myself working at a school called Alter One. And at that school, it was about working with, we worked with at-risk youth and going on a journey with them of personal recovery, and also just walking life journey with them as they dealt with different challenges whilst finishing high school as well. And it was in that time where I kind of started letting go of all these ideas about perfection and all these ideas that I had kind of created in my mind that I thought I would find in the fashion industry, and started looking at the reality of things, because I didn't want to have any more conversations that I was talking to someone, but there was really just this, you know, brick wall between us. And I didn't want to be laughing and knowing that this is such a fake laugh, but I just have to do it because this is the right person to talk to when they've said something funny. So I just started going, how do we actually connect? How do we actually communicate properly? How do we get to the deeper part of different people? Because we all have a level of depth that we don't often engage with. So with these kids, they taught me so much, because there was no lies. There was no, there was just pure honesty, which is great sometimes. But they would tell you, and it was like, wow, even though it may not have come out the right way, it was teaching me, or I was relearning how to have that community, how to find that sense of belonging, and how to really connect with individuals around me. And while I was teaching, I decided to take up a new craft. I thought, I'm going to put fashion aside for a while and I'm going to pick something up. I want to do something with my hands. I want to create. I still love that space. I still love that world, but I'm going to do something different. So it was a good friend of mine who was working with me at that time, who was doing pottery, that encouraged me, like, sign up for that class. And that person's Brianna. So I signed up for that class, and then I signed up for another. And as I was doing them, I thought, I'm going to share this, the photos of the work I'm creating, and also share the process, because I found such peace and such joy in it. And I was starting to recognize what in my life was kind of replicating those emotions that I had felt back then, and how could I recreate that? So letting go of this idea of perfection that I had found and kind of created in the fashion space, and relearning what it is to create, to connect, and to belong. And in that time, I got to share that craft with the kids at the school that I was teaching. But in leaving the school at the end of 2017, I found myself in a space where I was like, wow, I can actually step into whatever I want next. What is it going to be? And while I didn't specifically pick it, because my choice was to go back to doing fashion-based stuff, pottery kind of emerged, and there was a demand for it. And I started a business called Not Yet Perfect. And in that, I was able to create, I was able to teach people, or I should say I am able to teach people about pottery, and also, but more so about the journey and about connecting with people, sitting down, creating, and creativity has this way of disarming people. It has a way of allowing you to just speak without having to think so much about, am I saying the right thing or the wrong thing? It's so disarming. It's so peaceful. There's a joy that comes in creating, that it's not so much about the end product, but the product represents this beautiful moment that you've had with people around you. And that idea of conversation, which I saw so much when I was a six-year-old, like, I mean, people talk like a lot, and like, so like, there's so much vibrancy and like so much animation in the way they did it, and I just love, this is so real. I want to see that. We all have that in us. So, you know, as people create, and as they're being disarmed, there's this conversation that erupts, and I love that, because that is also a catalyst for creativity, where people's ideas become their world, which is wrapped around them, and it's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. So letting go of everything that I thought was perfect, which was to embrace what's not yet perfect and which will never be, and being so okay with that, and finding a place of peace and belonging and community in the spaces that I choose to create them, and I choose to engage with them, and knowing that we all have the ability to create that, and there will never be a perfect place, and there's actually so much beauty in what is just raw but yet refined. So enjoy that, and I'm still learning that, so I want to share that with you guys. Thank you.